the scriptures in the Word of God. The word revive is in the Bible 8 times. Revived is in the Bible 6 times. Reviving is 2 times over there in Ezra and 1 Kings and Judges and Psalms and Isaiah and Habakkuk. Those words are revive. It just, of course, means wake up, come back to life. A lost person can't have a revival. You understand? Why can't a lost person have a revival? They ain't nothing to revive. They ain't never been vived. You got to be vived and then die out to get revived. And so only Christians can have revival. Lost man has to have life, resurrection. And so tonight, let's look in our Bibles at Psalm 85 just for a minute. And I'd like to give you a few things about revival, just a few thoughts about it. Psalm 85. I don't know who wrote the song, Revive Us Again. You probably look in your songbook and find it, but I'm sure they got the words, the idea for that song out of this verse. Psalm 85, 6, they're bound to it. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now notice, I've read this scripture over and over and over. There's no telling how many times I've read that verse of scripture. There's no telling. And there was one word in that verse that jumped out at me some time ago that grabbed hold of my heart, and it's that word, again. Well, look at that. You see that in your Bible? Wilt thou not revive us, what? Again. Some people have the idea of, glory to God, boy, we got revived at camp, or we got revived at camp meeting. Woo! We're on our way now. Listen, you only get saved one time. One dose of salvation will do you from here to glory. But you get many revivals. People say, well, if it's real, it'll last. Well, your salvation will. But he said, wilt thou not revive us again? Now you, if you're honest with me tonight, you'll know that you get revived, and then it ain't long that you need to be revived again. And if we'd be honest, that's, we try to act like, glory to God, I'm on the mountaintop all the time. But the truth is, none of us are. We need revival. We need to be lifted up. Wilt thou not revive us again? Indicating he'd had one, and then kind of slacked up and needed another. I feel like we need a good shot in the arm right now. Now let me say this. I'm not the kind of preacher that throws off on his church. I just don't do it. Don't believe in it. And our church is so blessed. Somebody told me this week, I forgot who it was. This week. Somewhere. They said, preacher, you know what I like about this church? I'm talking about our church. And I said, what? They said, what I like about this church is, they said, it's a big church, but when you're in it, it feels like a little church. And they said, I've never seen that. They said, it's so unusual to go to a big church, but it feels like a little church. And you know what they meant? What they meant is, a lot of times in a little church, it's real free and people are not ashamed of the Lord and they'll shout and praise God and everything. But it's rare in a big church. Usually when a church gets big, bigger it gets, the quiet, dead, formal, the more formal it gets. And the only way this church is ever going to get formal and liberal is for me to get formal and liberal. And I hope the Lord kills me before that ever happens. Amen? I'd rather be in my grave, done in glory, shouting, than to turn into a dead head and say, well, we're a little bit too dignified for that time. Baloney, brother, baloney. We was shouting and praising God out on the street corner before there was a New Manna Baptist Church. We was shouting and praising God with that old building up there and look about the floor about to fall in. And we can still shout and praise God down here when there's 1,000 people sitting in here. And if they don't like it, they can go back where they come from. Amen? God's still God here as He always was. Amen? They still worship God the same way. You worship God the same way in a big church you do in a little church. They like that. I'm glad our church is unusual. Our church, one thing that's unusual about our church is we don't go to seed on things. That's very unusual. A lot of churches get a hold of a truth and they go to seed on it. That's all they talk about. They get a hold of one thing, they get so excited, that's all they talk about. Bang, 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 bang. Have you noticed here at our church, we believe the King James Bible, but that ain't all we talk about. We believe in putting into practice what the King James Bible says. And it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Get the gospel to every creature. So we believe in knocking on doors and telling people what that King James Bible says. So we believe in soul winning. We believe in soul winning, but that ain't all we believe in. See? We believe in living right. We believe in having convictions. The hardest thing a preacher ever has to do is keep a steady course and not be pulled one side of it. Can you turn this thing up just a little bit? One way or the other, and not be swayed. I'm glad through it all, through burdens, through problems, through pressures from within, through within battles from without and within, pressures without and within, that my anchor still holds and the old ship of Zion is still sailing through. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes tonight about revival and how we need one. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? It's ridiculous how many of God's people are just totally out of it spiritually. Totally. Come to church every Sunday morning, totally out of touch with what's going on. Totally. I mean, just like in a different world, like you're brainwashed or something. You can't get a blessing. You can't get hooked up with what's happening. You can't be seem like you're a part of it. You need revival. You need revival, I'm telling you. You need revival. You'll need to learn to get in there, get on fire for God. You're like that preacher who was visiting a home one day, and the woman trying to make a good impression on the preacher, of course. And the preacher told her, he said, well, you know, the Bible said this. She said, that's right, preacher. You know, I was just reading in my Bible the other day. Honey, come here. Go in there and get Mama that book that she loves so well. And trying to make a good impression on the preacher, you know. And the little boy comes back with a TV guide. That's the way a lot of people are, brother. Out of touch, brother, completely. That's why if you're a hypocrite, your kids know you're a hypocrite. You know it? You ain't got them fooled a bit. You can fool me once in a while, but you ain't going to fool them kids. You ain't going to fool them. They'll look up at you like, is that Daddy I heard give that testimony? That couldn't be my mama. Man, she slapped my head off a while ago and told Daddy she hated him. And now she's up there singing in the choir. No, 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 no. Listen, brother, I'm telling you, we need revival when it gets like that. When you think of the archangel is an angel that rode on the ark, brother, you need revival. I mean, it's pitiful how little people know about God. Some of them think that an epistle is an apostle's wife. The reason some of you don't think that's funny, you still don't know the difference. An epistle is a letter, man. It's a written letter. One time, a guy came in one time, the preacher said, called one of his deacons in. He said, preacher, or he said, deacon, he said, something has got to be done about our Sunday school. He said, our Sunday school classes are ridiculous. Our teachers ain't teaching, and the bad thing about it is, they don't even know nothing about the Bible theirself. He said, I just heard this week that something terrible that tore me up. He said, one of our Sunday school teachers asked a little boy in the class who shouted, went walked around the walls of Jericho and made the walls fall down. And he asked the little boy, he said, who done it? And the little boy said, I don't know, but I promise it wasn't me. And he said, I went and talked to the Sunday school teacher about it. And he said, I said, what in the world did you say? And he said, the Sunday school teacher told me. He said, now preacher, that little boy said he didn't do it. And if he said he didn't do it, I believe him. That's about the shape a lot of God's people's in churches tonight. Amen. I tell you what, brother, we need revival. We need revival. Amen. We sure do. We are so blessed. I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about this. Now, a lot of times we say we're in the valley. Now, watch this. I never thought about this till this week. A lot of times we say, Brother Danny, I'm in the valley. Preacher, I'm just in the valley. Pray for me. I'm in the valley. And I got to thinking about this. Did you know that you cannot be in a valley unless you're in the mountains? There ain't no valleys down on flat land. You got to be in mountains before there's valley. I think I started thinking about this in Montana. Because where I was at in Montana the other day, the ground just solid flat. It ain't like here, you know, we got foothills, then going up spruce pine, burns went up through there, and you keep going, and the further you get, the more mountains you get. It's not like that there. It's just solid flat, like a pancake, and then all of a sudden, thump, straight up. Mountains all the way around you, like a bowl. And I got to thinking, you know, the preacher told me, he said, now preacher, he said, we can get you a humidifier for your room. And I said, I don't need a humidifier. He said, oh, yes, you do. He said, you need a humidifier here because your nose will start bleeding. And I said, my nose ain't going to start bleeding. He said, yes, it will. He said, people come here, their nose starts bleeding. So we're going to get you a humidifier. I said, really, really, I'll let you know if it does. But I honestly, my nose ain't never bled. My nose has been hit and busted and fell on and hit with elbows and people's heads playing ball and everything else. And I ain't never had a nose bleed. And I said, I don't think you have to worry about it. So he said, okay. And sure enough, we didn't. But I said, why would you think my nose would bleed? And he said, well, because we're so high up. Now, I was looking at it like I was on level ground, and them mountains was way up, and we was down here. But the truth was, that level ground I was standing on was way up. And I was about 4,000 or 5,000 feet above sea level on level ground. I started thinking about that. I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, I think I'm low. And it looks like way up yonder, that'd be high. And I'm way down here low. But even at the lowest point in town here, I'm way up above sea level. And then I got thinking about what sea level represents in the Bible. And the sea in the Bible is always the masses of people. Masses of people. The Bible said in Revelation that the beast would rise up out of the sea. Representing tongues and nations and languages. Always the sea represent. The Bible said Jesus went out of the house when he turned away from those Jews and sat by the seaside ministering to them Gentiles, see? And so it's always meant base. The level of the world is sea level. Where you and I were living before we got saved, we was living on sea level. Now let's say tonight that the main floor down here is sea level. That's just base. That's living on the level of this world. And sea level here is, brother, it's just down here, you know, with the world and sin and everything. Now, let's say this is mountains. You're up so many 100 feet, 1,000 feet, 2,000 feet. Now if I'm down here in these mountains, this appears higher than I am. And I think, man, I'm in the valley. But even when I'm in the valley, I'm 1, 2, 3, 3 or 4,000 feet higher than that is. So what I'm saying here tonight is, a lot of times we think, well, I'm in the valley. Listen, brother, when you're in the valley as a Christian, you're about 3,000 feet better off than you was before you got saved. A bad day as a child of God is better than a good day out yonder in sin. Hey, listen, ever since I've been saved, I can't explain it. My anchor holds. Ever since I've been saved, I've been tossed to and fro. I've been pushed. I've been shoved. I've been talked about. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm shouting. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm feel good. Sometimes I don't. But down deep on the inside, there's been a settled peace inside my soul that's way up above anything I ever had before I got saved. I never have went back down to the old sea level of this world. It's still better here serving God in the valley than it is living out there in this world. You know, your friend, a lot of you people forgot what a shape you was in when God found you. You forgot those lonely nights and how you dreaded seeing another day coming and how you thought about putting a gun to your head and how you just you hated everybody and everything. And then you walked into God's house one night and heard the old story and the conviction settled in on your soul and you hit an old-fashioned altar and the great transaction was done. You got regenerated. A miracle took place. God saved your soul and He lifted you up above the shadows. You forgot about how bad it was to live down there. Listen, we need to be revived tonight to realize that a bad day as a child of God is better than a good day out yonder in sin. We just take for granted what God's done for us. The truth is we ought to shout the roof off this building. Now, I'm not talking about something fake. I'm not talking about something pumped up in the flesh. He said it'd be a well of water springing up in you into everlasting life. It's good. It's good to be saved. We need a revival that'll make us pray. Don't you agree with that tonight? By the way, there ain't going to be never no revival when God's people pray. I thought about it. I thought, well, there's a lot of ways preachers do it. Sometimes the Lord laid on a preacher's heart to say, who will pray Monday? Who will pray Tuesday? I've heard it done that way. We've done it that way here. Sometimes I have heard preachers say that the Lord laid on my heart, who will fast a certain day? I have heard preachers say, take all hours in the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4, all of that. You know what? I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for us getting ready for a revival coming up here in a few days. I feel like just saying this. I feel like saying this. Instead of getting a prayer schedule, instead of saying, I'm going to pray at 10, he's going to pray at 11, he's going to pray, there's nothing wrong with that. God may lead us to do that in another way. But I feel like that I just ought to say this. I ought to say, listen, when we look around and see the condition of our world, when we see the condition of churches in America, when we see our boys and our girls, when we see them straying away, when we see the fire dying in a lot of souls, when we see preachers quitting by the hundreds, nobody ought to even have to beg us or even ask us to pray. We need a burden to pray. And if we don't have a burden, get down on our knees and pray till God gives us a burden. We need to pray. We need to pray. Who will pray? Who will pray? Who will pray? Brethren, we have met to worship. And the door of the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray in holy manner. We'll be showered all around. I'm telling you tonight, brother, God's still God. He's still on the throne. God still does and has the same power He had in days of old. God's still in the saving business. You can still see your loved ones walk down these aisles. We can still see the altar filled with sinners being saved. If some of us will get a burden to get on our knees somewhere and maybe do without a meal or two or a day or so and crawl up in the corner somewhere and say, dear God, oh God, wilt thou not revive me again that I may rejoice in thee? That's what we need. You reckon we could have a burden to pray in the next couple of weeks? Reckon we could determine in our heart, I'm going to leave off some of that TV time or some of that goof off time or some of that sleep time or some of that just wicked time or some of that just wasted time, and I'm going to pray? I dare say there's people in here tonight that have never one time in your life prayed for 15 minutes solid. And I'm telling you, you're going to make a shipwreck of your Christian life. But in the day we're living in, if you don't learn how to pray. One thing I'm impressed with a lot of our young people is the way they'll come to the altar and pray on their own. They come up here on Saturday night and pray. Well, that's impressive, brother. I'm talking about 14, 15, 16 years old, lying on the floor, begging God to help them. But as long as they keep that up, they'll be all right. And I've been in churches preaching and seen teenagers come down to the altar and not even know what to do. I've seen them come down the altar before like this, and I'll say, if you need to get right with God, come on down here, and them come down there and just look at me like, okay, here I am, what I do. I've seen them come and kneel down like this and think they're supposed to do this, one of these numbers, in order for God to come. You know what that problem is? They ain't never seen them mamas and daddies around that altar praying. They don't know how to pray. By the way, one of the reasons why you're smart for having your kids here tonight, you're a wise person having your kids here tonight. It's good for these kids to see these mamas shout like Sister Parker was here a while ago, brother. I love it, man. I love it. I want my girls to grow up. Sam, boy, when I was a little kid, I remember the sisters shouting all over the church when all of these mamas and grandmamas are gone. Where's the churches going to be if some of these young people don't learn how to carry it? Hey, I think some of you 16-year-olds ought to once in a while just go, wow! Just like that, amen? You say, well, my boyfriend would be embarrassed. Well, tell the little sissy to go home. If you got a boyfriend that'd be embarrassed, you shouting, you ain't got much. You say, well, my girlfriend might think I was a little odd. No, I think you're a little odd for liking somebody like that. Amen. I about said a bad word. But I tell you what, brother, listen, we need reviving. We need reviving. There's nothing wrong with shouting. I've seen them that high shouting out there at the youth camp. Hey, you ought to seen them that night and they got in the bees, man. There was some shouting going on, I'm telling you. A lot of it wasn't real, but a lot of that sleeping ain't real, you do. Amen. Brother, we need reviving. Amen. We need reviving. You know what they said one time? Revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. People say, oh, it's mysterious. How come God just sends revival sometimes and some? It ain't nothing mysterious. It goes like this. You pay the price, God sends revival. He promised He would. You reap what you sow. One of the great preachers said, you show me a group of people that'll thoroughly get right with God, confess anything wrong in their life, and turn everything over to Jesus, yield themselves to do whatever He tells them to do, it won't be long till God will move in that group. We're not trying to convince God to do it. He's convinced. He wants to do it. He wants to work in our hearts. It's just us getting us in the shape where He can work through us. I believe it was a great preacher, Finney, or one of them great preachers, said one time, he said, if you want a revival, go home. Back when they had hardwood floors, he said, take a piece of chalk and draw a big circle on the floor. And he said, get in the middle of that circle and get down on your knees and say, God, I want you to start a revival in this circle. See, the old folks used to sing, it's not my brother nor my sister. It's me, oh Lord. You know what some of us need to do? You need to forget about brother so-and-so and how bad he needs it. And sister so-and-so, and boy, she needs to get straightened out. I sure hope this meeting does her some good. You better forget about so-and-so. And start saying, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me, oh Lord. Buddy, I'm coming up here. Listen, it's going to be a treat for me. It's going to be a treat for me, even in camp meeting. I'm taking people to eat. I'm on the phone. I'm running around. It's going to be a treat for me just to sit here and scoot up under the table and tell the man of God to put it on my plate. And boy, just dig into it. And I'm going to be praying. It might sound selfish, but I'm going to say, God, do it to me. God, do it to me. I got to go to New York a week after this. And I'm going to Colorado. And I'm going, I don't know where all I'm going. I don't know if anybody knows where I'm going. The Lord's the only one that knows where I'm going. But I tell you what. I'm going. I want to get something done. I want to leave a track. I want to leave something, a footprint behind where God has done something, and He can't do it unless our lives are yielded to Him. We don't have a lot of time, folks, to waste and fool around. I know this. God's still saving souls. God's still working. I didn't get to my outline tonight. I'm just going to close this thought. I had a man called me the other day. He said this. Usually, sometimes you get paranoid answering the phone because you get so many bad phone calls. But you get some good ones sometimes too. It's really not that many bad ones, but you know, every once in a while you get a bad one. I got one the other day. A fellow called me up. He didn't like what I preached on the radio. He said, I didn't agree with what you said. I said, that's fine with me. I mean, if you don't agree with us, who cares? You got an opinion? Opinions like belly buttons. Everybody's got one. I didn't sell him that. That's what they say. Everybody's got one. They don't do you a bit of good. You need to get you a cue stick and clean it out every now and then. Some of you need a long one. But I want to tell you what. I said, well, that's your opinion. It's your business. He said, well, I tell you what you said just wasn't right. And I said, well, he said, where does the Bible say? I was talking about Christian rock music and stuff like that. He said, where does the Bible say that? I said, well, the Bible said there's two kinds of music. Oh, where does the Bible say? I said, one kind, David played on a harp and evil spirits left the room. So we know that there's one certain kind of music that makes evil spirits leave. And then there's another kind of music in Exodus. Listen. There's another kind of music in the book of Exodus that when they first heard it, they said it sounds like war. It's beating, it's screaming, it's hollering, and they were dancing naked around a golden calf, and it was demonic. They are two kinds of music. And one reason I know that churches are going apostate in America tonight is they have some of the most sickening, watered down, pitiful excuse for gospel music I've ever heard in my life. Lord have mercy, man. I mean, I don't want to go to... You hear Jungle Funk in the flea markets. You hear it in the shopping centers. You hear it in restaurants. You hear it everywhere. I don't want to go to church and hear it. I want to hear something that sounds like heaven. You know something? Thank you, brother. You know something? Anyway, he's getting me down the road. And I had somebody else hanging on long distance. I said, you're going to have to call back. He said, no, I'll drink a little bit of beer. And I said, aha. Now we know. I guess it got under his skin a little bit by sending him the video. But I got a good phone call the other day. Guy called me up and he said, this Preacher Castle? I said, yes, sir. He said, I got some news for you. I said, well, good. He said, this was Thursday night, I believe. 2 or 3 days ago. He said, my wife listened to you on the radio, preacher. He said, my wife got saved. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I was preaching on hell the other evening. He said, she taped it off the radio. He said, she listened to that thing 3 straight times. Over, run it back, listen over, run it back, over, run it back. And said on the third time, she got down at 15 to 10 the other night and got saved by the grace of God. And I said, amen! Hallelujah. God's still working. God's still blessing. God's still saving. God's still reviving. People just let him. People just let him. People say, oh, Lord, don't work no more. Yeah, he does too. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he will. He's able. Are we willing to give up our complacency and not care attitude? Are we willing to pay a little price? Are we willing to pray here in the next several days for this helping meeting we got coming up? Are we willing to get down and say, hey, oh, you know, now, by the way, now, none of you have no excuse this time. A lot of people say, well, I couldn't make the camp meeting, preacher. It's Thanksgiving, and we go see Mama. This ain't no holiday now. So I don't see you here, you know. It ain't deer season. Okay? Amen? You don't go off on the third week of February to see Grandma back home. Say, we got homework! No. It'll be all right. You got all evening to work on your homework. No excuse. Well, I gotta get my garden. Not in February. You don't get your garden. You don't need to mow your grass. You need one thing. I need one thing. We need to get in here for 3 or 4 or 5 nights together and just seek God and get our lives cleaned up. Get our hearts on fire for God once again. Like we need. Some of you young people, and I'm proud of you, really. I mean, most of you lasted a lot longer than a lot of people predicted you would. And I thank God you proved them wrong. When they come home camp, a lot of people say, yeah, it'll last about 2 weeks. Well, I'm glad they didn't know what they was talking about. You could about count them on your hand, the one that's fell out, son. That's a big percentage. Usually it's the other way around. It's 95% falls out and 5 stays in. God has been on them. I thank the Lord for it. And they need some older folks as a pattern, as an example to follow. They're looking at you older folks. They need somebody to show them. I can't stay with them 24 hours a day. And I've invested a lot of time in them here in the last 6 months. But I can't do it always like that. They're going to have to watch you girls, watch you ladies, and you preacher's wives. They need somebody to look at. And you're it. If you don't do it, you're going to make it that much harder on them. And a lot of God's people ain't even right with God theirself. And young people get on fire for God. And then the young people get out and they say, yeah, I know they didn't have much. But it's because the young people didn't even have an example to look at. They backslid just like you did. And I believe we all need a fresh touch from God. May God help us to have it. Okay? Brother John, I'd like for us to sing, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. And maybe whatever else you've got picked out, revive us again later. But let's stand and sing that tonight. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder how many would just meet me around the altar tonight. Declare us silly. Put us on our knees before God Almighty. And cause trouble. Cause rebellion in the home. How about some of you husbands here tonight? Full of sin. You're full of sin. Hateful to your wife, mean to your kids, won't teach them right, won't teach them the Bible, live like a devil. Buddy, you're going to answer to God for it one of these days. Answer to God for it. How about some of you wives, totally rebellious, threaten to leave all the time, don't want to do right? Huh? Better get it right. Answer to God one of these days. Give an account, the deeds done in your body, whether it be good or evil, the Bible says. Let's pray tonight. Pray, folks. Pray. Don't be ashamed. Pray. There ought to be some wailing going up from the house of God across the land tonight. There ought to be some wailing. It would sound like the wailings of hell tonight. For sinners round us. See poor sinners round us slumbering on the brink of woe. Can we bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children sinking down. Oh Lord, help us tonight. Oh God. Oh God, help us tonight. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help marriages, help homes, help that husband and wife here tonight. God, that needs that special touch from you. Help them tonight, God, to realize that nothing's more important than just doing the right thing. Lord, help them to quit worrying about being happy. Help them to start worrying about doing right. Help them, Lord, to quit worrying about advancing in the world. Help them just worry about doing right. I pray for that teenager here tonight. Lord, who's rebelling and out in sin and doing wrong and breaking her mama's heart and daddy's heart. God, convict them tonight. Help them, God, to get straightened out. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, for young boys, and little girls here tonight. Let them see the old-time power and the old-time move of the Holy Ghost. God, help them tonight. Lord, stir our hearts. God, as we begin to pray for this revival meeting coming up, God, we don't have to wait till Brother Harry gets here. We don't have to wait till February the 26th. God, stir in our soul tonight. Oh, Lord, let holy manna fall all around. Oh, God, come down. Lord, bless thy people tonight, God. Stir in our souls, oh, God. Lord, may that we rejoice in thee. Oh, Jesus, Lord, move and be real here tonight. God, help that person that's discouraged. Help that one that's confused. Help them, Lord, just to let go of all their reasoning and all their doubts and sin and just give in and serve you and do right. Oh, God, do something here tonight, God, that's real. Start something here tonight, God, that'll last till Jesus comes. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. God, I pray, Lord, in these days ahead, that conviction will settle in over McDowell County. That school kids will be under conviction. That brothers and sisters and relatives and neighbors will be under conviction. God, there'll be a strange, unusual moving of the Spirit of God on our land one more time, oh God. God, do something. Prepare our hearts for the youth rally in the spring and this fall and the school and everything. Oh God, we need you. Oh God, do something. Oh God, do it, Lord. Cut us loose from the cords of iniquity that would bind us. Lord, cut us loose from any of the sin that would so easily beset us. Let us lay it aside. Oh, Jesus, do something in our hearts that's real. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.